Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. Pastor Margaret, if you would like to introduce the topic that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, today we are going to be looking in 1 Samuel, looking kind of at the life of Saul and David when things started going a little bit awry with Saul, and when Saul starts keeping an eye on David, and there's a reason that he did. And there's a just kind of a progression that takes place, and just kind of connecting that to some experiences I've had recently with folks at the end of their life and what really mattered. It's really had me pondering scripture. I don't know, maybe even looking at it a little bit different. But when we see people that are at the end of their life and really see what matters to them, what their focus is. I've heard people say before, how would you live your life if you had, if you knew you had 24 hours to live or a month to live? Like, what would you do? What would be important? And I think it's really easy in this world, especially today with technology and just all the things that we have that can keep us busy all the time. It's just, today's a great opportunity to kind of take a step back. And for me, it's a heart check. Like, I felt checked by this. And I think that's why I want to share it, is I don't want it just to be for me, but I want it, I want to share this in hopes that, you know, if somebody listening can get help and hope from it, then it's worth talking about,
And it doesn't matter what age we are. None of us are promised tomorrow. So we need to be ready.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, we even recently, and quite a few people that listen to this know that it wasn't too long ago when my brother passed away, and we knew he was sick and we knew that he had cancer, but all of a sudden it was his last days and we just weren't ready for it. Like, it just happened so quickly, and all of a sudden, like, he is a memory now. And, you know, I know, and I'll probably share a little bit about that today, just watching his perspective. And I learned so much from him in those last days of just, I know it, but I saw it over again, how important. The main things were the main things, I guess. And so in relation to all of this, I have been reading through the Bible this year, and I'm in reading through 1 Samuel right now. And I'm reading through the parts where, you know, Saul is king and things are going along, and there's just all of these things start happening. And in 1 Samuel 18 and 19 is kind of where this kind of all came together in my mind, where I see Saul begin to take a really different approach and really see the attitude come out. And so there is, let me just get to it. David was going out and he was successful. Yeah. We know he killed Goliath. Yeah. And so here are Saul's servants coming home, and they are returning from the slaying of the Philistine, and the women come out of the cities of Israel singing, they're singing songs of joy. I mean, this standoff had been going on for quite some time, and now there's all this rejoicing. And the women are singing that Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul ends up getting really angry about this. He was very displeased. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s. And to me, they've ascribed thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom? You know, he was just, at that point, scripture says that Saul eyed David from that day on. Like, he kept his eye on him. He was, like, you know, that thing that comes up, there's things that we can I don't know how to explain it other than it kind of rises up in us.
Anger.
Yeah, and we can kind of feel it in our chest. And Saul was very angry and displeased. And so what does Saul do but try to kill David? And Scripture says that an evil spirit came upon Saul, and he was kind of like a madman, right?
The Spirit of the Lord had left him.
Right, and so, you know, David was coming in and playing music, and that would comfort Saul. So,
and you said it was a heart check for you. It should have been a heart check for Saul. And it should be a heart check for any of us if we get our eyes off of Christ and on to ourselves.
Right. David is now having to run for his life. You know, he's having to leave and leave his friend Jonathan. And, you know, that was such a precious friendship. And one of the thoughts about this, the author that I'm following and reading the Bible through this year said, remember that Saul's Achilles heel is, he's like, I hate to just belabor the point, but Saul's Achilles heel is he cares too much about what other people think of him and cares too little what God thinks of him.
And what God thinks is most important.
It's the only thing.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
Like that's, we live our life, we've said it on here before, for an audience of one.
Yeah.
And now that David comes in and there's some attention on him, Saul cannot handle it. And I think we've probably all in our lives been at a place where we're like, what just happened? And we felt jealousy, right? Yeah. Like that's, if anybody's made it through this world without ever being jealous, I'm not sure if they're telling the truth.
Only Jesus.
You know, and so I think that this idea of Saul caring too much about what other people thought, that they weren't looking to him now, but they were looking to David. And I mean, it made him mad enough to want to kill him. And I have to look at that and go, where in my life do I care more about what people think and care too much about what other people think and care too little about what God thinks of me?
Yeah.
That's sobering.
Yeah.
Because how often when we make decisions, do we think about what other people think?
Right.
Do I make my decisions on what other people think? Or do I make decisions on what God thinks?
Right.
And just last week, I was sitting talking to someone, and it was really a conversation about what God thought and what others think. And I found myself in that moment realizing that I really needed to have that conversation. And because there was a little of me that was more concerned about what someone else thought. Yeah. And it wasn't something that I had consciously was doing, but it was still doing it. Like, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Like, I can't even, you know, we're going along and all of a sudden we have these realizations and we have to do something about that, because I have to say, Lord, forgive me for that, because I always want you to be what you think to be more important when we have our affections for other things in this world above what God thinks, whether it's people or whatever's out of order, if we have addiction or codependency, whatever it is that we go to before we go to God with things, like our affections are out of order. It should always be God first, right?
Right.
And so I just had that last week on something. And so I think when I read through this week and read what the authors was saying about Saul, that he cared more what other people thought of him and too little of what God thought of him. I'm like, ouch. Well, I can look back to not too long ago and realize that. And that's why we ask God to search our heart, right?
Right.
And David did that a lot.
Right, yeah. He had to ask for forgiveness quite a few times, you know. He wasn't perfect either, but...
And if the Holy Spirit lives in us, like, he will show us the places that we need to have the light shone in our lives. If the Holy Spirit lives in us, then when we ask the Lord to search our hearts, like, he will show us the places. Because what happens, we're living a life as a believer is to be in relationship with the Lord, right?
Right.
And when we start caring more about what people think than our relationship and what the Lord thinks,
right,
then, you know, that can be the beginning of more things coming between us right. and the Lord, and find ourselves at, you know, really broken places. So,
but if there's breath in our lungs, we're not so far away from Christ that we can't turn back. And so we should take these signs or heart checks as an opportunity to reverse course and make things right.
That's right. You know, that's the whole thing. Like, it's what I think I've heard people say, you know, there's some spiritual slippage.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, we're human. We're not perfect. And we won't be perfect until we're made like Christ in glory. And so the life of the believer is a daily surrender. It's a daily asking the Lord to take his rightful place in our life and spending time in the Word. And when other things, like what we think other people think, when those things become greater than the importance of Scripture and prayer, whatever the thing may be for those listening, it is a slippery slope.
Well, you know, in the Bible it says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, because if we store up treasures on earth, moth and rust does destroy. Essentially, you know, I was telling you about the little plaque or whatever you call it that my great-grandmother had in her house that my dad got. Yeah. That they were each allowed to pick something out of the house, and it was, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Yeah, and that's so true. It seems like we have lots of years, but really we don't know. None of us know.
It's like a vapor. Our life is like a vapor.
Yeah, and we're not promised tomorrow. I think about a few things that I have witnessed over the last couple of months. And I had a friend pass away, and I lost my brother as well. And in both of those men's lives, and I believe that they'd be really okay with me saying this, they didn't always have a focus on Christ, but as they became believers, and I watched what the Lord can do. And my friend that passed away, I hadn't known him for a long time, but he became a dear friend. And he had told me, ask him about Jesus. And he said, well, God and I have an agreement. And I'm like, wow. And at that point, I didn't push it, because I knew that it was just wasn't the right timing, that he wasn't open. And we continued to have conversation, and he just wasn't willing to have the conversation about Jesus. But as he came closer to the end of his life, I knew that I needed to have a conversation with him. And I walked in his hospital room and I said, you know, you've told me that you and God have an agreement. And I said, but you never told me what the agreement was. And he looked at me. He was having a hard time breathing because of his illness. But he looked at me with the most desperation in his eyes. And he said, can you save me? Can you just save me? And I said, well, no, I can't. I can't save you, but Jesus can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a long time in his life where other things mattered more. Things that he wasn't willing to walk away from. And we had talked about that. He's like, I'm not willing to give those things up. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I don't want to walk in the church because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And that was just his stance. And then when it really came down to life and eternity, he knew the answer.
Right.
And he was desperate to accept Christ. And he had been awake the whole night before. And I really believe that he was awake because he didn't want to go to sleep. He was that close to the end of his life. And I'll just never remember, once he made that right with the Lord and he prayed for forgiveness and accepted Christ, he looked at me and he said, I don't mean to be rude, but I am really tired. And, you know, he just had a peace and he was ready to go to sleep. And he only lived a few days as a believer before he went on to glory. But that transformation and accepting Jesus as his Lord and Savior was as real as someone who did that and then lived out their life with Jesus. I mean, Jesus meets us at our point of need, right?
Right.
We've not gone too far. As long as there's right. breath, there's hope.
Yeah.
And he had looked to the world for a long time to give him what he thought he wanted in this world. But at the end of his life, it was all wood, hay, right. and stubble. It meant nothing. Even the people, you know, like I watched as even the people in the room, his attention went away from them even to the Lord, because right. he knew what he needed and he knew what the answer was.
Right, yeah. And I think about two things I'm thinking about. One of them I shared with you, Pastor Margaret, before we started recording. My dad had a friend that was a Mormon, and they had talked about the difference in their faiths. And one time they were on a ride somewhere, and Dad's like, I'll let you talk on the way down if you let me. Or no, it had to be on the way down, because Dad talked about how his grandmother said, well, you'll have peace. And so it was kind of like, well, pray that whoever's right will sleep well. Well, on the way back, Dad's friend realized that Dad had slept really well while we were there, and he didn't sleep well at all. Fast forward years later, this man was on his deathbed, and Dad came to visit him, and he told Dad he didn't have peace and asked if Dad would pray for him. And Dad said, can I pray to the real God? And he said, you know, the real Jesus. And, he said, yeah, that's what I want you to do. And so Dad prayed, and the man accepted Christ on his deathbed. And, you know, we've just come through the Easter season not long ago, and we were in a series talking about the two thieves on the cross. And the one died in his sin, and the other, who was just as sinful, but he asked the Lord to forgive him. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Yeah. He realized at the end what was most important.
Yeah. And we don't have to wait to the end,
right? No, we don't have to.
But thank the good Lord for his grace that right. pursues us right. all of our life. As long as we have breath, we have hope. And that if you're still breathing, you haven't gone too far.
Right.
Jesus will meet you at your point of need. He meets us not where we pretend to be, right. but right where we are.
If you're not dead, God's not done.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he has so much. He has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And the enemy, he has a plan for us too.
Right.
And that is just not to be in the will of God, to not right. be, he doesn't want us to accept Christ, and he doesn't want us to live for Christ. And so right. yeah. There's always going to be a battle, but man.
If he can't get us to sin, he'll just keep us busy.
That's what, yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, this gentleman went on to glory, and that is, that's many people's story. We won't all have the opportunity to make that decision at the end of our life, because not all of us, our lives will not all end like we see people now. We meet the end of our life in many different ways. And sometimes we have time to think about it, look back, make things right with family. Some people don't get that chance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, today is the day to really look at these things and go, you know, God, do I care more about what other people think than what you think? Like, how am I living my life? Like, search my heart, oh God, and really show me. I'm asking that. And where is it that I am caring more about what people think than what I care about what God thinks? Just like Saul. We can look at Saul and be pretty judgmental about how he acted, but when it comes down to it, it was one thing. He cared more about other people, what they thought of him, and he cared too little of what God thought of him.
Yeah, and we can get lost in the weeds. Like, I don't think anybody's trying to kill anybody, but that doesn't mean that we're not jealous or that we're not angry about something. And just because it doesn't rise to the level that it did with Saul and David doesn't mean that it's not pleasing to God. It doesn't mean that we don't need to do a heart check.
Right. It's so true. And yeah, I'm not trying to liken anyone to Saul. Although if you're thinking like that, you ought not to.
It's like God told Cain in the Bible, you know, sin is knocking at your door. You know, it was almost like he was given a warning and he ignored it.
Yeah. 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 We can, God is gracious to us. You know, as we kind of wrap up today, I just feel compelled to share, I'd said earlier, you know, my brother passed recently, and you know, my brother had accepted Christ, and like I said at the funeral, did that make him perfect? No. He had his own battles, just like we all do. But sitting with him over the last month of his life, a lot of it was spent in the hospital, and I spent a lot of time by his bed, and just to see the things of this world really grow dim in his eyes. And he suffered significantly towards the end of his life. And on Thursday, he passed away on Saturday, but on Thursday, he began, mean, he had made a commitment to Christ years ago, and he had recommitted and had been praying. We'd been praying together and reading scripture. On Thursday before he passed, he began to cry out to God. And he did that all day Thursday. And he would go, "Oh, God." And he would, you know, just talking to the Lord. And on Friday, he cried out all day, "Oh, Jesus." And he was calling out to Jesus all day that day. And it was a extremely hard day for him. He had a desire to go home. He had one last wish, and that was that he wanted to be at home in his own bed to go home to the Lord. And we made it happen. Michelle, his wife, made it happen. You know, we're like, "Are you sure you want to do that? Like, it's a lot." And she goes, "It's his final wish." Like, yes, we're going to make that happen. So at 4 o'clock on Friday evening, Priority came and picked him up and took him to the house. And about 4:30 that evening, we got him settled. And I mean, he had friends over that night and was able to communicate with them and was still mentally with it, and spent the night in his own bed. And at 8:30 the next morning, he went home to be with the Lord.
He was holding on just long enough to go to his own.
And the Lord knew that. Like, he gave him the desire of his heart.
Yeah.
He answered that last wish. And I am profoundly impacted as I sat with my dad in his last days and he cried out to the Lord. And I sat there and I'm like, we laughed. We're like, he's doing exactly what Dad did. He was faced in the direction of God. He had all of the relationships that he had had in this world grew strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace, right? Like the old song, isn't that the way it goes? And he was focused those last 3 days on the Father and the Son. And that relationship became his focus as he transitioned. And then on Saturday morning, he crossed the line of worlds, as we would say. That relationship was the only important relationship, was with the Lord. He wasn't communicating with us near as much, and then only crying out to Jesus.
And I think of something that Reverend James Sproul, who used to come and preach revival here, I think like 24 times or 24 straight years or something like this, he told Dad, he said, "When we're believers, we don't die, we just leave." You know?
Well, it's like,
right?
We just talked about the thief on the cross.
Right.
And you know, the Apostle Paul said, "I would rather be at home." It's like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, "Yes, we are fully confident and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord."
Right, yeah.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Right.
And that's beautiful that we... And I told my brother, I read Psalm 121 to him, and I said, "You know, you don't have to fight anymore.
Right.
Like, you can quit fighting. You don't have to fight to live. Let go and trust that the Lord has you, both now and forevermore." And I just remember him saying, "Thank you for that. Thank you for telling me that." And it's so true. It was true. He was ready to go home, and he was looking in the right direction. He knew what was right. He was at the end of his life. He had his focus fully on the Lord. And it makes me think about, there's a scripture. It's actually in Psalm 59 was a psalm that David had written when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but in Psalm 59, 9 and 10, David said, "You are my strength. I watch for you. You, God, are my fortress, my God, on whom I can rely." And I watched that become true in those two men's lives as they reached the end of their lives and made things right. And their focus went from people to the Lord. And it stayed there until they went home.
Yeah. And those that we lose that know Christ, I've heard the dad say this before, it's something less than tragic. Because we know that they're with the Lord. So even though we're sad to miss their presence here on earth, we know that we will see them again. We have the promise of heaven that we will see them again if we can continue to finish our race and run our race and finish strong and finish well.
Yes. I we'll miss my brother, but not without hope.
Right. They leave us with hope.
That's right.
Well, Pastor Margaret, this has been a great discussion here today, a great conversation, and it's definitely brought me hope. Any final thoughts before we close?
Yeah, I just would say, first, if you have someone in your life that maybe don't think like you, maybe you're a believer and they aren't, maybe there's things in your own life that you're struggling with perspective of, you know, what people think versus what God thinks. Just this whole thing that we've talked about today. It's not too late to mend relationships. Please don't wait, because the tragedy can hit us from out of nowhere, and we may not have that opportunity to make things right. So if there's somebody on your mind today, as we've been talking, that may be making things right, maybe you've cared more about what other people think than what God thinks on some things. God is right with you. He meets us at our point of need. He meets us where we are. And just making those adjustments in our life, and when God brings them to us, I guess I would just say, don't let that harden. Don't let it go unresolved, but seek the Lord. And maybe you don't even know how to go about it. Pray and ask God, because He cares about these relationships. He is about relationship. He wants to not only have great relationship with us and for us to look to Him first and foremost, but He also wants us to make sure that we are mending and building relationships around us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Pastor Margaret and I's conversation today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
God has a plan, and I plan to be in it. He holds the keys to the stars and the moon. I know someday He will call upon my name, and this is what I will say.
God Has a Plan, a song written and sung by a friend of ours, Dale Smith, who has since gone on to be with the Lord.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg, in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.